الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها حولا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders, ulama kiram and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman and Islam and this great deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only through the mercy and rahmat and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because of our intelligence, of our looks, of our ancestry, of our color. Only the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has granted us this great wealth of Iman. We live in the world today where there are so many misconceptions regarding the values of life, regarding the ideals, regarding those things that are should be cherished, those things that are dear and near. Some people regard it as wealth, some as position, some as enjoyment in the world, some as leisure and pleasure. But what is the thing that is most significant and important and valuable in the life of every human being? It is nothing except his Iman. Iman, the most valuable commodity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. More valuable than all the riches in the world, more valuable than all the assets and the gold and silver that you can imagine, is this Iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And this has been expounded in several ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the light of very various verses of the Holy Quran, we understand this fact that Iman is the thing that is most valuable, the thing that is most significant in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Iman. In the light of the hadith, we understand that if the entire skies, all the seven skies and the seven earths with all its occupants are put on one side, and the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is put on the other side in the pan of the scales, then this will outweigh the seven heavens and the seven earths and whatever it contains, to show how valuable, how heavy, how how we should view, or how the value of this kalima is, that all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the earths, the skies, whatever is in between them, the weight of this kalima will outweigh them. It is more valuable than all these creations that we see. Similarly, it's mentioned, Allah Pak Seva, the person that goes, leaves this world without this Iman, then if he brings this entire earth full of gold, not one brick of gold or not 1 kilometer of gold, the entire earth full of gold he brings to ransom himself, to save himself from the punishment, it will not be accepted from him. And he will not be able to save himself, to show to us that this Iman that the person has is much more valuable than the entire world filled up with gold. Similarly, it's mentioned that a person who leaves this world with Iman, a very small particle of Iman, an iota of Iman, atom of Iman, adna, 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 it comes even more smaller than atom. If he leaves with that, more smaller than a mustard seed, if he leaves with that with this world, then the reward he will get will be 10 times, the jannah he will get will be 10 times the size of this dunya. So to say that the small little Iman, the speck of Iman that he had, in earning jannah that is 10 times the size of this dunya. Imagine the dunya, the vastness of the dunya, the earth, etc. And 10 times of that, for that person that is the most adna jannati, the first, last person that will enter into paradise, the smallest particle that he will have, this is the value of this Iman. Value of this Iman is that as long as one person is walking on the face of the earth with Iman, taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this entire world and all its systems will remain. This is the Iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me, you and all of us, with his fadl and through his grace. One riwayat has mentioned that the destruction of the entire world is lighter in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the killing of one person that has Iman. One person that has Iman, then the destruction of the entire world is lighter than killing of that person because of his Iman. So this is the great wealth, the great treasure, the great bounty, the great, in fact, the greatest of all the gifts that Allah ta'ala has given us is Iman. We should become conscious of this. It is customary that we thank Allah for everything. We ought to thank Allah for the good health we have, for the wealth we have, the families we have, the surroundings we have, and the environment that we live in. And even each and every ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we express our gratitude. But how often do we say, oh Allah, I express my gratitude, alhamdulillah, in Iman. O Allah, express my gratitude for this iman that you have given us, which is the greatest of all the ni'mats. And like we hear so often, that a person can have all the ni'mats and all the luxuries and comforts of this world put onto one side and the iman onto the other side. If he leaves the dunya without iman, it's a total failure. And on the other hand, a person has just a speck of iman, just one small iota of iman, and is deprived of all the luxuries and comforts and facilities of this world, and he leaves with that, then he's the most successful person. This example is given to us over and over again to conscientize us of this great, the value of this iman. And it's on the basis of this iman that we are related. More stronger than our ancestral relationship is the relationship of iman. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. Here Allah Ta'ala mentions those people that had the greatest and most perfect iman after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. You will not find them befriending those people that go against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, even though they may be their fathers, their children, their brothers, their family people. No, their relationship was based only on La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And this iman creates the greatest bond and greatest relationship. Talk about unity, can be no unity without iman. Iman is the most greatest uniting force. Sayyidina Abidin rahmatullahi used to mention this quite often in his visits to our country, that the greatest bonding factor is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the iman and the kalima. Person can be so hostile and his activities can be adverse towards Islam, like we see in the history of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The moment they say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they become part and parcel of this Muslim brotherhood because of the iman. It unites them and cements their hearts and bonds their hearts together. Thereafter the ibadat, Hazrat Mustafa after should mention, thereafter the greatest uniting force is the ibadat. Person who carries out ibadat in the manner prescribed by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will unite the hearts of the people. Thereafter should mention the akhlaq. Akhlaq is that force, is that power that unites the heart of people. Even though a person is a non-Muslim, you show good akhlaq to him, you bring him closer to him. That love is created between you and him, that contact is created between you and him. So the most valuable thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is iman. And the most significant thing also is iman. Because of its value, its most significant is iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam right up to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam with this gift and bounty of iman, La ilaha illallah, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. We should also study the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, what difficulty and hardship they had to endure to take this greatest commodity to mankind and to present to mankind that which is most valuable to him. Some of them were martyred. Some of them had to go on extreme difficulty and hardship at the hands of the people of their ummatis, not knowing because of them being unaware of the value of iman. Today also we find many people make effort of our iman, but because we do not know the value of what the man is coming for, we do not value him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and all of us the tawfiq to realize that the greatest effort or the greatest asset that we have in this dunya is the kalima la ilaha illallah. For that Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had come and they went difficulty and hardship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent the divine books upon the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Wahi had come down upon the respective Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in order that this iman and the particles of iman and the orders of iman are strengthened in the lives of humanity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also wahi has sent to him, and there's no time to go into details. The wahi and the force of the wahi, the gravity of the wahi was so much that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to, so to say, go into some form of a trance. It should sound like he is falling asleep. And sometimes we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, extreme perspiration on the Mubarak forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an extremely cold day. The message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give and dispense to humanity. And this had not come on one occasion. Sometimes the animal that is on the camel upon which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is riding cannot withstand the force of this wahi. It has to sit down. One sahabi says that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak head was on my thigh, and when this wahi had come down of just one or two words, I felt as if my thigh is going to be crushed and broken to pieces. This was the weight and bulge and the gravity and weight of the wahi that used to come down upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here all for the iman and the life of iman to come into humanity. And this had come down, according to some muhaddiseen, 24,000 times upon the Mubarak Zat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine how much pain and difficulty and hardship Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had endured in just receiving the message, and how much more in giving the message You know, for history is replete with the incidents of the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the most significant thing. And after a person accepts Iman, also we find in every aspect of his life, it is the kalima la ilaha illallah. You start your salat subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashiru la ilaha illa ant. We read the kalima. Before turning anything about salat, also we share ashhadu la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. The call is made out to us for salat also. We find the kalima is mentioned in the beginning also, in the ending also kalima is mentioned. We are told to terminate our days with the kalima, to begin our days with the kalima. We are also told to make the zikr, and the best of zikr is the zikr of the kalima, to remind us that the greatest asset that we have is this kalima la ilaha illallah and the iman. Allah Ta'ala talks about the people that are the most pious people, the God-fearing people. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, "Yu'minuna bil ghayb." The first quality is that they have iman. So iman has this important and very significant position in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is like this strong foundation in the building. The foundation is strong, the building will stand. It will take hundreds of stories, but the foundation is not strong, then we find that a little few bricks put upon a foundation that is weak will collapse and will not be able to withstand the force of those bricks upon it. So here, this is the status of Iman, and it is so significant to us, so significant that there is not a moment in our lives that we can spend without Iman. We can spend a few moments or a few hours without Salat. We can spend 11 months of the year without fasting. We can spend many years of our life without going for Hajj, except on one occasion. But when it comes to the Iman, we cannot leave the Iman. We cannot separate ourselves from the Iman, even for one single second, one single moment. And this is the need of every single human being on the face of the earth for his success, whether he is white or black, whether he hails from Africa or America, whether he speaks whatever language, whether he is learned or unlearned, whether he is lettered or unlettered, whether he is rich or poor, whether he is the king or the pauper. Every single human being for his success needs this La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is such a significant, it's so significant and important to us, we cannot carry out one ibadat without La ilaha illallah, without Iman. We cannot exist for one moment without Iman. We cannot be there in any part of the world. We can be in any part of the world, this is our greatest requirement. It can be night or it can be day. It can be winter, it can be summer. It can be whatever part of the day. We must have La ilaha illallah, Iman, with us. This is how significant and important it is. And this is one of the most powerful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, is this kalima La ilaha illallah. When that enters into the heart of the person, then nothing, no force on the earth, all the forces put together will fail to take out that La ilaha illallah, or to combat that La ilaha illallah, or to crush that La ilaha illallah, or to take that Iman and that yakin of La ilaha illallah from the heart, everything will fail. And this is witnessed by us every day of our lives. In history also, we know the pages of history are replete with the incidents of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's a matter of life or death. Life, Iman is more important than life. Sumayya radiallahu anha is prepared to sacrifice her life but not give up her Iman. Iman is so strong that it stands in the face of death. She is prepared to embrace death but not leave out this Iman. This Iman is so strong that no amount of persecution and difficulties and hardships that are directed towards her can take away and snatch this Iman. So many instances of Bilal radiallahu anhu, we know the difficulties and hardships he undergoes. The people get tired in persecuting him, but that Ahad is echoing in his heart. It is the force of Iman that's sustaining him, keeping him alive. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu and his family, how they had undergone difficulties and hardships, but this Iman was not taken out. Why? It was firmly embedded in the heart of these people, and this was the power of Iman, because the effort of Iman had been made upon them. Similarly, so many of the other companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, is beaten so much, but Iman does not leave him. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is beaten, but Iman does not leave him. Similarly, we find that Abdullah ibn Huzafa Sahmi radiallahu anhu is brought before the Roman king, and he's threatened with his life. He's told he'll be thrown into that boiling conundrum, and he will die like his companion had died. But this does not make him compromise on this La ilaha illallah Iman that he has. He's prepared. In fact, he expresses great amount of regret and he begins to cry and weep. King feels this person now softened when he saw the consequence and the result of that person who did not denounce Islam. He's asked to denounce Islam and accept Christianity. He begins to cry and weep. What was the reason of his crying and weeping? This sentence shows us the intensity of his Iman, how strong his Iman was, and his yearning to sacrifice on the part of Allah. He says that how I wish that every hair on my body, I'm crying out of regret and remorse that I have only one soul to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one life to give. How I wish that every hair on my body was a soul and was a life, and I could have sacrificed it one by one for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the jazba and the zeal that they had, and the strength of the iman is expressed by these incidents. And so many of them like that we find. When you look at the shepherd in the field, when he's told to him that, sacrifice, take the sheep and give it to me. And what does he say? Where is Allah? What is this? It is his iman that he's speaking. That woman that was adulterating the milk with the water, putting water into the milk, and he's told to her that Umar radiallahu anhu does not like this, he's not here. He says, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He is not here, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. This is all the effect of the iman that is in the heart. When iman comes into the heart and the reality of iman, then we find the sifat of iman also come. Iman has been likened like a tree in the hadith. Iman has many branches, over 70 branches, over 60 branches, and al-haya shu'batun min al-iman. Haya and we find bashfulness and modesty also is a part of iman. And there are so many other qualities of iman. When iman comes, sets into the heart, and effort is made to preserve this iman and develop this iman, then all those qualities of humility, all the simplicity, generosity, forgiveness, all those good akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that akhlaq of the anbiya, of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving preference to their companions, giving their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making sacrifices, staying hungry and feeding the guests, all these were the effect of that iman, that perfect iman that was found in the heart. And for this, great efforts were made. Today we make efforts for many things in the dunya, but we fail to realize that iman is something, not only after saying La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, it ends, no, that is the beginning now. In order now to remain steadfast upon iman, to increase our iman, to develop our iman, we need to make an effort in the line of iman. We need to make an effort to make sacrifices for the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we will find that this iman will become strengthened. It becomes strengthened to such a degree that a person will not be able to stand disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with himself, not with his household and family, and even in society, he will not be able to withstand when he sees people are disobeying Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the low level of iman. Not realizing the significance and importance of iman, we find efforts are made throughout the world to strengthen this iman in many forms. Here, the ijtima that is taking place is for the very same reason, that this valuable asset that we have, we develop it in ourselves, in our wives, our children, in the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also in those people that are not believers. This great ni'mat of iman is given to them. When this is strengthened, when effort is made and iman is strengthened, inshallah, then we will find that the Islam, the life, our life will be such that the teachings of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be mirrored in the life of every single human being. Then it will be very simple for even the people around us, to accept Islam by merely looking at us. By just one sentence, they would accept Islam. Here, one of the jamaat is on the way for the ijtima I was mentioning. He says, in the time, one person in America, he says, when he saw Colonel Aminuddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, was also very active in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Colonel, but active in the part of Allah, accepted in the part of Allah. Some people say over 5,000 people had accepted Islam at his hands. And it's possible for all of us, Allah Ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to work and make manat on this iman so that people accept iman at our hands as well. So it's mentioned here, he mentioned so nicely, he says, Khan Amiruddin Rahmatullah Alayhi and his jamaat was walking in New York with their heads bowed down, with their heads bowing down, and they were walking. One person was a non-Muslim, he looked at the strange sight, says he saw them from the window, he came down to them and he told them, what is wrong with you? This is New York. What are you doing in New York like this? You ought to look at the buildings and everything around here. He says those people told him, Colonel Sahib Rahmatullah told him that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that when we walk out in the bazaars, we should safeguard our eyesight, not look at things that are not permissible for us, and Allah will forgive our sins. He says this one sentence was sufficient to bring iman into this person, and that person accepted iman, and he went in the path of Allah, and he spent over 10 years till he became an alim, and then came back. Just one sentence, and the sunnah and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it's mirrored and reflected in the lives of our lives, then the non-Muslim, when you merely look at this, it will be sufficient for them to come into Islam. Hundreds of instances of this type. Sometimes it's the dressing, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes it is the honesty and trustworthiness of the merchants that went to these eastern countries. Sometimes it's just death. Sometimes it's just looking after the eyesight, following the sunnah. Sometimes it's laying the dastar khan and eating according to the sunnah method. Attacks the people towards this deen of La, this deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so magnetic and has such a magnetic effect on the hearts and minds of people that they are attracted towards the deen of Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq to work on our iman, strengthen our iman, so that these qualities come to us, it becomes second nature to us. These qualities are second nature to us, that the sunnah of Rasulullah s.a.w. is practiced, the mubarak akhlaq of Rasulullah s.a.w. is practiced. So on one hand we are the host, we have a great responsibility of looking after our guests. This is the duty of every single one of us. Because man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir wal yukrim dayfahu. Person that believes in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he should make ikram of his, he should make ikram of his visitors. Should make ikram of his visitors. This time does not permit. One person was telling us that one Jamaat had gone to Peshawar and they told that person that you should join us. He said, I have no time, I want to leave. They told him, it is proverbial. The Pathan hospitality is known, very well known. How is it that we are your visitors and you don't entertain us? This person had nobility. He accepted and he joined them. And when he went and joined them, those people told him after the program was over, how can you leave us alone? You should spend some nights with us also. We are your guests. He joined them. And thereafter, he went with them and joined them for 4 months. And then he told them, the moment that you had come and stuck on my door, on my shop, that was the time I had my revolver ready here and I was going to kill somebody. I was going to kill somebody who killed somebody in my family. And this feud would have continued for decades. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me. The tapping of the door was the tapping of my heart. And thereafter, he changed his life. So the examples are there. If we make an effort on ourselves, on one hand we have the ikram of the people that will be coming. In whatever manner, according to one's position, a person can make ikram and look after and show honor and respect to the guests that will be coming. Whether it is by going there and serving them, whether it is by showing them the parking, whether it is by going to the homes, giving them something from the homes, whether it is making their nights comfortable or their days comfortable or giving them meals. And on the other hand, is the mission and the object of the ijtima. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me all of the tawfiq to participate in the object of the ijtima, that is to work for the upliftment of our iman. That community that we all require, that community that will try, that will lead us and spur us towards amal salihah. And if you open the Quran Park, we will find in so many verses of the Holy Quran, Allah ta'ala tells us, Inna alladhina amanu wa aminu salihat, like the one I mentioned here, kanat lahum jannatul firdaus nuzula. Jannatul Firdaus will become your place of residence, inshallah, in the Akhirah. This is provided we make an effort on our iman. And especially in these days and times, when we find that there's an effort here to made to snatch away iman and take away our iman from all corners. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has predicted this. Allah ta'ala save us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and humanity at large. There will come a time when a person will be a mu'min in the evening and he will be a kafir in the morning. He will be a kafir in the mu'min in the morning and he'll be a kafir by the evening. There will be so many batil forces around us here trying to snatch away our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to save ourselves, to save our wives and our children and our families and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and show some concern to the people around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. As we all know, the ijtima is virtually here now. Inshallah, next weekend on Saturday, the ijtima will begin. There are a lot of preparations, a lot of assistance required also at the ijtima site, which is just a stone's throw away from us here. We have the golden opportunity of going there and rendering our khidmat. May Allah give me and all of us the tawfiq. And as I mentioned, basically, the object of the ijtima should be there. That together with that, we should also participate. The object of the ijtima and work towards the upliftment and the development of our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.